The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Welcome, nonprofit community. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Kara Zimmerman, and I want to thank Spirit of Giving Network for hosting our show today. They are always the backbone and voice of the community, and this is great for everyone to be able to hear and learn more about today, Nine Muses Art Center. And today we have Chris Yocklin, who is the Adult Services Director of the Mental Health Association at Nine Muses, and Nicole Storrs. She's so many things. The list here is ceramic teacher. If you could see her pants, you would know why. They're all different colors of clay on her pants. And we have the health, and she's a health and safety supervisor and manager as well. So we have a very superstar panel here from Nine Muses, and I really thank you for taking the time out of your busy day, because the work that you do is so important. So thank you for coming. And Chris, if you could tell us a little bit about what it's like, the day in the life of Chris Yocklin at the Adult Services Director.
Set up. Yeah. First of all, thank you. I appreciate being here. So I work for the Mental Health Association. MHA has been in Broward for 60 years.
60.
I came to
Not you. You haven't been there 60.
No. Not quite like that old. But I've been at Nine Muses for 15 years. It has been in existence for 20. So the Nine Muses Art Center is a behavioral health drop-in center. It's set up for a mental health community to come in, find a place where it's safe to be, and find a passion in their life through the arts. All of our visual arts, painting, drawing, and performing arts, music, dance, vocal, creative writing. And mixed in with all of the arts and culture is support groups. So we
and have life skill classes.
And life skill classes.
Life skill classes are important too.
So do you teach those too, Nicole?
I do not. I'm strictly ceramics. And being the manager, I think they just gave me that title because I know where everything is.
So Nicole's been here a little longer than I.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, yes.
We got her straight out of high school.
Yeah.
Were you a client? Were you? What got you interested in Nine Muses? Art? I mean.
Well, yeah, art. I was just began attending the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale, and I got the job via their employment office on the campus.
And little did you know
that I would be
there. We would
never
let her go.
Yes.
But what is it like to be there? I mean, there must be some reason. 20 years is...
Oh, well, of course. Tell just us. Because helping people is kind of amazing.
And you don't know that when you're young. Sometimes you don't realize. You think it's all about me and give me and I need a Christmas gift or whatever.
Oh, it was...
Right?
It was definitely just... I could teach art. I like art.
Yeah.
You know, that was it.
But think about...
But then I stayed.
Being diagnosed with a mental illness is devastating. And the stigma that's associated with it, and typically it's in your early 20s that an onset for mental illness will come upon. And if you don't have support or somebody to say it's okay, that a label is just a label and that it's okay to ask for help, and then to find an opportunity within your community to then give back. It is a rewarding job in the sense of watching somebody overcome a diagnosis or an illness or a stigma and find themselves again through the arts. And it's amazing what art can do. It's not art therapy. It's I look at the artists there as muses. I mean, they're my muse every day. But they become support for one another. Our community support groups are, there's a depression support group every Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. There is a bipolar and depression support group on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. And they're well attended, and they really build support, not only for the person receiving service, but the community at large. We've had parents, aunts, uncles come in because there's a family member that's struggling and didn't know what to do or how to deal with. We couldn't do our job without the community partners. In our lack of service community, Florida's 49th per capita in mental health funding. We're just below Texas. So if you look at the statistics, but you look at the programs in our community, and they're amazing. You have the partnerships with other providers, and that's how we can do our job. When somebody calls and they're looking for information and referral, we produce what's called the Connections Guidebook. And can I plug the...
Yes, please.
It's browardconnections.org. And it's an information resource book. So browardconnections.org is a online site. It's not really as organized as it could be, because it's basically a website that we put information referral materials in, but it's all Broward County nonprofits. And then we produce, or have produced in the past, a hard copy Connections Guidebook, which we like to put in everybody's hands. If I didn't have that partnership with all of our community partners, I wouldn't be able to offer that information referral. So it's really that network of supports, even with programming.
I mean, isn't that what nonprofits are all about? We're supposed to do that, the word collaboration, and not holding your information to yourself, but sharing it and working together.
It's the only way you make community.
Right? Community.
It's true.
And sometimes we lose that sense. We don't know. And I'm just curious, how would somebody know in the community they've been diagnosed? How do they know to find you? How would they? I want the community to hear on the radio about Nine Muses, but I'm thinking, how would I
like
know to come to you?
Best kept secret.
Okay,
so and we serve about 75 to 120 members a day.
So
I'm not looking for an influx of members. I'm a member organization. You must have a diagnosis in order to participate and be a member. We do play well with others. Only if you think you're normal, I'm going to charge you $100 a year. So the prerequisite is a sought or received services in the last 5 years. But it is open to the community.
It is open to the community. Everybody's welcome to come. And there are people that do check no in that box when they fill out the application, and they do pay the $100. Sometimes it turns people away, and that's good too.
There's a sign on my door that says, "You do not have to be crazy to work here, that I will train you." I have to make fun of it, because when I first started, I wasn't allowed to use that C word, crazy,
mm-hmm.
Because it was offensive. And yes, I understand that. But if we don't take that power back and enjoy who we are, so I'm a little crazy. Who isn't? But I own it, and I am responsible for my behavior. It's not... It's when you use your mental illness as an excuse for bad behavior, that's when we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can continue that open dialogue and have trust, then I see recovery happen. And when I see recovery happen, I can throw statistics, but statistics are just numbers. You can say that mental illness is preventable if caught early and provided with supports. But it's also a brain disorder, just like heart disease or cancer. And if treated properly, it's just in treating properly when you start to feel better, I don't want to take my medication anymore. Then what? Then you go through this vicious cycle. So having that understanding, or people that have been in that place, really makes a sense for support and recovery. Because with an illness, you must have some type of support, or somebody who has been there, understands, cares, and can listen, which is our Seth line. So our Seth line is open in the evenings from 6 to 10 p.m. And it is a warm line. It's a warm line where people can call, talk to someone who cares, understands, and been there. It is Monday through Fridays from 6 to 10. And the number, 954-578-5640. That's 954-578-5640. And that's a Seth line. It's a warm line. It also can provide information and referral. But it is really, we have developed wonderful relationships over the years. People just calling on the way home from work and talking about their day. It really has that mindset of, mm-hmm. if I talk about it, I feel better. And, you know, I call my grandmother, who's 96 years old, and I still vent my day. But that's how I unwind. So the Seth line is sort of designed for that, you know, get it out of your system. And we're, you know, I'm not a good listener. I'm a great talker, but I'm not a good listener. It's a trained support program.
So. Active listening.
No, I have volunteers on that line.
I was
going to
ask you, are those trained? Are they social workers?
No.
Therapists, people like
that? No, we should have started with that.
Yeah. People that have been there.
Gone through
people
it.
People that understand.
So isn't that so?
Nobody little letters after their name that paid lots of money for their degrees.
Right. I think, isn't it? It's so important to have somebody talk to you that's been through it.
So I would never. State of Florida. Mm-hmm.
It makes it a lot easier for people to open up and really pay attention to trust, like a link of trust. Well, if you know what I'm talking about, then I can trust that what you're saying is true and you're not just telling it to me to get me to do this thing I don't want to do, whatever it may be. It's important to trust the person who's on the other end of the phone listening to you.
And I bet that person on the other end feels good because they're giving back. Maybe
absolutely.
They've been helped by your organization or,
mm-hmm.
some, you know, and they want to give the time, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. Membership. You know, the pool of volunteers comes from our membership, people that see a need somewhere and they want to return the favors that they've been given by the organization.
And they become mentors to our members. So we have a participating muse, which is somebody who just comes in and fills out an application. And we have a gallery muse, somebody who's participated in our art classes. Studio muse, somebody who has had an exhibit, an art show. Mm-hmm. 100% of the asking price goes back to the member. We are a gallery. We have a full frame shop.
We have a frame shop, yeah.
Then take the work out and then display it. So
travel it around. Shop it around.
Lease to buy program.
Mm-hmm.
We'll change the environment of your office space on every 6-month basis, basically for gas money. But you allow us to exhibit on your walls and sell the member's work off of your walls. And it really gives the member that sense of exposure. But, you know, on the flip side of that, when I sell enough work, anything over, what is it, $599.99?
Right.
You get a 1099 from my agency at the end of the year. Well, if I do that for somebody on Social Security, I put them at risk, not only for their Social Security or their disability, but also maybe their housing. So keeping that in mind, I sometimes need to purchase art supplies instead of necessarily that sale of art. So we've
figured it out.
Yeah.
You need to work that system
so the system works for you. And at the same time, recognize that you're an artist and that you can provide an opportunity to make a career. We've had two members be recognized by other agencies as a career choice.
Mm-hmm.
And support it to set up studios. So it's a rewarding agency to work with.
And how is the art? I mean, how does art play into the mental piece?
So I'll put calls out every now and then, me, myself, and identity, and I'll put a piece around it for a show, and then have artists send or submit their works of art around that call. But at other times, they're going through the classes, and if they create a body of work that's recognizable
and
as
cohesive.
A series in either concept or shape or form, that work is then submitted as a exhibit, and we do every other month, we do a solo exhibit.
Every other month. So they get framed in the frame shop. They go up on the wall. There's an opening. There's food. People are invited. We make an invitation that they can hand out to whoever they want. And after we gather six months of those, because now we do it every... We used to do it once a month, but it was a lot of work because we put 15 to 20 pieces on the wall each time. That's what we prefer. So we gather all that work together, and then it goes out and gets shown at South Florida State Hospital in their...
It's a nice gallery space.
In their boardroom. And we sell stuff off the walls there all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
And then from there, we have other community providers that we exhibit their work. Or if the member wants the work back, it goes back to the member.
So do we want to put a shout out to companies if they'd like to hang your art? That sounds like a wonderful it place to get started.
We just took down 120 pieces from Magellan Healthcare right. System. It was an amazing piece. And they supported us with not only the exhibit, but a donation to the organization. So that was very nice.
Oh, my gosh. Did they buy any? Did anybody buy
it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So
again, it goes back to the member serve. So I'm just sort of a pastor. Yes, absolutely. All of that is available on our website, too. So 9musesartscenter.org, the number okay. 9.
9 Muses. M-U-S-E-S, artcenter.org.
Has a Flickr page, a Tumblr page, a Twitter page, mm-hmm. all that social media stuff. But they dock, doesn't matter how great we are, it's how well we document our greatness. So that piece in and of itself is, you can go back through time and history. The Diagnose a Doll Project was one of my favorite when the new DSM came out. And there was in this uproar of their new diagnosis, but no history to them. Because, you know, the DSM is just a resource to look at behavior.
And then not necessarily to an illness.
A pill. But yeah. There was some new diagnosis connected to the pharmaceutical industry, so it set me off. So I put a call out for artists, and we gave out dolls, and our members created diagnoses around the dolls. So it was amazing, and that shows forever on our Flickr page.
Mm-hmm. And that's humor. It's taking something serious and making fun.
We have to laugh at ourselves, especially in today's age.
Today you have to laugh at it. It's not so serious. It just exactly. I love what you're saying. You know, accept yourself, laugh at yourself. And it makes it so much easier, right?
Definitely.
I talked about that. So all that was visual arts. We have performing arts, which was really...
And a band.
A band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Muses. The Muses, you know, have come a long way. And from, you know, Stairway to Heaven on chords over and over and over to now getting paid for gigs and
going out to the community. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so excited. We have to hear more about this. We're just going to take a quick break. And 9 Muses, we will be right back. 9 Muses Arts Center.
I definitely feel like the words veteran and homeless should never go together.
Sergeant Michelle Garcia served meritoriously in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I had friends, and you know, I went and stayed at a friend's house, and then I realized, well, you're staying at your friend's house, but how long can you stay there? Where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna call home?
Lieutenant Richard Stokely took the skills he learned in Vietnam and put them to use as a paramedic. But after they left the service, these veterans had problems with homelessness. Michelle lost all her savings, and Richard battled alcoholism for years.
It started taking me down, all the way down to the point where I lost my family, and I ended up homeless.
A simple phone call to 877-424-3838 put them in touch with the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you are a veteran in need, or you know a veteran who is homeless or at risk of being homeless, call 877-424-3838 or visit va.gov/homeless.
Hi, everyone. This is Kara with the Forum for Nonprofits, Thanks Spirit of Giving Network. And today I'm very excited to be here with Chris and Nicole from 9 Muses Art Center in Broward, serving the mental health community so nicely with around the arts. Music, we talked about just now. And art, where you're having clients have their art on walls of businesses where people can buy the art and it goes right back to the artiste. I mean, what a great concept.
Thank you. With the performing arts, it's, you know, the writing class and the writing class to the poetry class, and then looking at the poetry class to the acting class, and the acting class picking up somebody from the writing class and doing a piece on what they wrote, and then the poetry class is looking at the walls and they're writing something about what was visually done by another member. So it all sort of mushes together. And at the end of all this, and I talked about the band called the Muses, but we have every quarter a creativity cafe. So it's the final Friday of every quarter. So it'd be September, what,
29th. Yeah.
Which is the final Friday of September. And it starts at 4 o'clock with an art sale where the members sort of set up their own booths. I would refer to like almost a flea market.
Yes, definitely like a flea market.
Where the members set up their
deals
work.
Deals are done. Most definitely.
You make the best deal getting direct from the member than you would if you buy it off my book. Because that is sort of a formula of sorts. So if you've never sold a piece before, I say, well, you pay yourself $1.50 an hour. And this is to come up with a fee for your work. And you spent maybe 6 hours. So let's sell it for $12, right? Well, if it sells, you can give yourself a raise. Well, so I'm putting them in my books from anywhere from $75 to $120. And because you have a history of sale, well, you can turn around and buy that $120 work of art, original work of art from the member, for $20, because anything under $20 is off my books. Mm-hmm. It's sold direct to the person served.
That's fair. And so that's on September 29th.
Mm-hmm. From 4 to 6 is the art sale. PM. And then from 6 to 8 p.m. is the performing arts.
Okay.
So that's when, like, we have for visual arts a solo exhibit. We have for performing arts, the acting class performs, the poetry class will perform or will perform their pieces, the music program, the vocal classes. It's only 2-minute vignettes. So sometimes it's, you got to sit through it, but it's 2 minutes and it's supported. And other times it blows you away. Mm-hmm. And I have always been inspired. And a lot of these little snippets are available on a YouTube site too. So if you wanted to just see a little bit about the muses, go to YouTube, which is on our website. I never know how to get there. You have to, I believe it's Clifford Beers.
I think it's Clifford Beers.
You have to go to our website and then click on the YouTube channel and it'll bring you to our channel.
Yeah, there's a button on 9musesartcenter.org.
So, Nicole, what about, we didn't mention the ceramics.
Oh, the ceramics.
Yes. Isn't that part of the art?
It is. It is. It is one of the, it's the only class that I have taught for this long with my stint, you know, during my time here at the Muses.
16 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Sorry, I had to say it.
All right. That hurt a little bit, but I'm going to recover right now. So when it comes to the ceramics, it's really good because there are, how we run the class is everybody has to go through the three techniques, hand building techniques. And once they learn that, they can use that knowledge to create their own pieces. And it's just input, it incorporates a lot of critical thinking. Because what's the best way that I can build this thing that I would like to build out of clay? And when people get their finished pieces back after they've been all glazed and they're all shiny and pretty, their faces are just amazing. I rarely ever have ceramics kept in the building because everybody always takes them home. Whereas when you go into the back and look at all the paintings, everything's still there, but nobody leaves ceramics.
Everybody, we never have to worry about storing ceramics.
Yeah, we don't.
So they don't get sold, really. If you, they take them
and they give them away and give them as presents.
If you don't come
and
back
use
and pick
them
up, we take great pride in breaking them into little bitty pieces.
Yes.
And then making them into mosaics. Classes on Mondays.
Oh.
Yeah. So there is that.
Talk about therapy. Just the breaking of them.
Yes, absolutely. And
you have a bad day?
No. You didn't want to pick this up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we give you 6 months. We give you 6 months before we destroy your stuff, but we have no qualms about doing it whatsoever.
So if recycling. We come on September 29th, we're buying art. The ceramics is not that going to be there. Everybody's taking
them. They bring them back.
They're setting up their own booths. So they are marketing themselves as artists. And really, there are muses, but they're individual artists. So the goal in developing their presence is developing their own website. We were lucky enough this last year to receive funding from the Health Foundation for new computers at the Mental Health Association. So we were able to use the old computers and set up a little lab for the members, which then allowed us to create personal email addresses, identity, social media for each member that wanted to promote their own work. So I'm not holding their work. I'm hopefully empowering them to create their own in their own presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have an arts background. I'm creating little artists. And it's amazing to watch the perception from an individual coming in the door that is, I mean, you're crushed when you're given a diagnosis, and to find passion in their life again and create and recognize that as a...
And figure it out while they're doing it.
Yeah.
Around other like-minded people that have had similar diagnosis or situations of similarity that they can relate to.
If we have time, it's... There's, with that said, Broward Behavioral Health Coalition, which is our funder, recently created the Power of Peers program. And that works with the state hospital, Henderson CSU, and we're at Broward General. There are two other community partners, which is Rebels at a Memorial Hospital and South Florida Wellness Network. They are in other provider settings, but our role is to follow the person out of the hospital into the community and model behaviors of wellness and supports around them. It has begun to help the cynicism, that revolving door that happens within our system of care. And it's wonderful to be a part of that. So that's called the Power of Peers.
And Power of Peers.
Yes.
Power of Peers. And that's in Broward also.
Yes.
I can't thank you enough for all that you do. It's just... we need to hear more success stories like this in the mental health community. And I wish you all the best and another 15 at least years of doing what you're doing, you. Both of you.
Thank you,
Chris. And thanks so much for coming and sharing this information. One quick thing, phone number, 954-746-2055.
You can reach me direct at extension 106 or Nicole at extension
108.
Yay. Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.